The Spinoff Podcast Network. Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
At Zed, we're all about moving with the times. And now it's time to be part of the climate change solution and move on from fossil fuels. As a company providing fuel to people all over the country, we also know we have a real opportunity to lead that change. We're committed to keeping Aotearoa moving by providing the right energy for everyone. We believe that innovation in fuel and how it's used can make a huge difference to our planet. Find out more at zed.co.nz.
You're listening to The Offspin, the Spinoff's cricket podcast, and moments ago we saw the culmination of 6 days of attritional test cricket, 2 years of the World Test Championship, 8 years of constant improvement and culture change, and a lifetime of unrequited passion and heartbreaking defeats finally coming to an end. New Zealand are the champions of test cricket.
It's so fucking cool. The last time we sat here in this format directly after a world final, we had to ask Samuel Flynn Scott to do a live performance of Pink Cola in a minor key to really capture the pain and heartbreak. And I shed a few tears just before watching Ross Taylor hit those winning runs, and it just feels so good.
Feels incredible.
What a match. What an incredible game of test cricket.
Just incredible. We are joined today as well by Justin Lateef, who came into the office to sit with us as we saw it all home. We're joined by Alice Webb-Ladore producing, who was also here with us.
A little squad came in after lunch feeling something.
Something was brewing.
Historic, on the precipice. And Justin, now is your chance to say something.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't actually watched a full game of cricket since the World Cup final because I was so traumatised by it. And I shed tears on that night. And to come back and watch another final, but for it to go the right way, is pretty amazing. And yeah, it's certainly, it's like a feeling like a sense of fulfillment almost.
That sense of cricketing trauma, of things always just going against New Zealand at the last moment, of, you know, these sort of remarkable stories that just end in just something that leaves you wanting a little bit more. And now, I mean, what the hell do we do now? Do we keep following cricket? Is cricket completed now?
We get to bring home a giant golden meth pipe. That's the first thing that we'll do. That trophy, that mace, is very, very funny. But I on that point, I thought it was very interesting that even, you know, it wasn't a insignificant total chit to chase, especially with the way the Indians had been bowling, and then we lost two relatively quick wickets. Like, on cricket Twitter, which is a very special place I've discovered. Thank you all for keeping us company through the night. It's been lots of fun. But cricket Twitter was stressed out. I was strung out. Like, I was so nervous. I had to sit behind the couch, behind everyone, so that I could sort of get up and walk around.
I feel like New Zealand cricket fans are particularly anxious. Like, we've just endured so much heartache.
We've internalised.
And it's not just the last World Cup final. It's almost like every one-day series against Australia. It goes all the way back to, like, being, you know, ruined by the underarm delivery. You know, like, it. we've just been, you know,
even
chopped
Nasser
down
Hussain.
At the, yeah.
Before we'd finished dismissing India, Nasser Hussain was talking about how we were going to collapse.
Yeah.
There's always a collapse on the cards,
and
according
to
Nasser.
Who would have disagreed with him? You know,
I guess
like,
he's right.
Really?
I guess
really?
That's like decent punditry.
If you could, I mean, looking at how the game unfolded, if this is the first you're hearing about this game, then we'll just give you a very quick rundown. Basically, today's play involved the Black Caps bowlers coming out and rolling India for far fewer runs than they really should have scored. And then Kane Williamson and Ross Taylor batted out probably about 200 balls between them. Very carefully done. They each gave away one chance, and that was it. And they saw it home with maturity and poise and composure. And I mean, again, I just have to say, like, what is going on here?
And I think that's the crazy thing about this team is that they're like it's their strategy and their approach to cricket is just so much better than everyone else. They don't seem to make dumb mistakes. And Williamson in particular always seems to make the right decisions, even though the commentators are saying he's too conservative or he's not doing the right changes here and there. He always seems to know what he's doing and be ahead of the game, you know, and I think even ahead of Kohli many times in this game.
I think the point that he was only the second batsman to make a 50 in this test, his first 49 was just so important, especially in hindsight now, that ability to stick around and let the tail wag a bit. And he was injured. It's in a country where his critics had written him off, you know, said he can't bat in England. And it's in the most important game of his career. It's such a moment for the legend of Kane Williamson, I think. And, you know, the way he led in the field as well. And it's very, very cool to see that happen to him.
And playing with a bit of an injury niggle as well. I mean, that's something that feels like it's quite deeply embedded in the New Zealand sporting psyche as well. I mean, you know, we've got Richie McCaw with his broken foot in the World Cup final and Buck Shelford playing on with a torn scrotum and stuff like that. And
Neil Wagner bowling with broken toes.
Exactly. That seems like there is, you know, there's just something about New Zealand cricket now where it's just, at the elite level, it's just not soft anymore. Once upon a time, it would have been.
And an injury like that is a really hard injury to actually, as a batsman, I think Sachin Tendulkar had a similar injury in his elbow and he had to basically take 9 months off cricket to rehab it. He can't train. It's like a overuse injury. And so he wouldn't have been able to train as much for this test as he would have liked. And he wouldn't have come in with the same amount of prep that he normally would do. And he probably didn't have the same, you know, power through his shots as well. So it's pretty, he probably understated actually how serious and what an impact it would have had on him.
Very quickly, we should say the off-spin is brought to you by the Beer Spot.
I'm sorry, Beer Spot. We got overwhelmed with joy. We'll come and have some, one of your 40 beers. We'll have a celebratory one today over lunch, I think.
At which of the five locations across Auckland?
We'll be at the Morningside location, but there are four others across Auckland. So please go and visit them to have a celebratory drink today for the Black Caps. Shot Beer Spot.
I don't want to slip too much into cliches or anything here, but did anyone else get the sense throughout this whole game that it really was a contest of wills and India just didn't quite want it enough when it came down to those key moments?
I thought they looked like they wanted it heaps. I think we just played ever so slightly better. I think that is a cliche that doesn't apply in this case.
See, the reason I say it is because of the batting performance that they put in both on the second day of play on the morning and on this morning, where they were just so, it was so loose.
That's,
you know,
the big
it
difference
was so sloppy
between the two teams, I think, was the focus of the ability of just a couple of batsmen to hold it together and grind it out. You know, you saw today some highlights for me, a Kohli making a big mistake. I love to see that, dangling the dangling the bat outside off stump. The way Pant plays for a draw.
Yeah.
That was ridiculously exciting and fun.
It was fun, but like it was kind of horrible batting.
He barely middled it.
And in a test where sort of really beautiful defensive batting has been basically the only currency that matters, it was just it was bizarre.
When he should have been out for five, and another highlight, I am just so happy for Tim Southey that his dropped catch comes to nothing.
Yeah.
That would have, you know, that could have been the difference between winning and drawing, or maybe even losing, if they were able to get a few more runs. And I ended up calling a lot of my friends at lunch who'd gone to sleep and saying, you know, you need to get up. This is going to be pretty special. But that makes me think of Craig McMillan, who for some reason had to leave the commentary box at lunch and go and get a flight back to New Zealand.
And now he's going to be sitting, or at some point, in a hotel in somewhere in central Auckland or in Mangere watching Hamilton highlights of this. Yeah. Game over and over for 14 days while he waits to be released.
I really hope he was on the plane and there was no Wi-Fi before the result actually happened, so he's got to fly to like Dubai or wherever and not have any idea how it's finished.
He needs a better agent or something, because whoever booked those flights really fucked up.
Mm.
He's a bit of a servant to New Zealand cricket now.
He is, and he just ceded the field to Simon Dole to be the Ian Smith of New Zealand commentators in an international event. You know, it's tough.
He blew it.
Kia ora, my name's Duncan Grieve, and I'm managing editor at The Spinoff. This podcast, like so much of the work we do at The Spinoff, is made possible by the support of our members. To find out more about The Spinoff members and how you can help us keep producing quality, independent journalism, visit members.thespinoff.co.nz today.
Kia ora, I'm Sophie.
And I'm Simon.
And I'm Alice, and together we host The Spinoff's food podcast, Dietary Requirements.
Join us each month as we explore a vast culinary landscape. From the gourmet,
ooh la la,
to your more hearty tucker.
Kiwi onion dip, anyone?
Everything's on the table in Dietary Requirements.
Subscribe wherever you listen to all your other favourite podcasts.
And back to V-Rat. Is he officially a choker now in knockout, or like big games?
Ooh. I think he over-wanted it. I almost felt like he tried too hard, and he was so animated. He seemed to be so into the game, but his passion just seemed to spill over into confused thinking at times, whereas Williamson's so stoic and careful and strategic. It seemed like they're like, you know, chalk and cheese in some ways. And I really feel that was where it was won. It was the better captain won the game for the Black Caps.
Potentially, yeah. And just in terms of the Indian tactics, the criminally underused Ashwin throughout both innings, really. And when he came on today, that was the only real time where it looked like,
that was horrific.
Maybe something's going to go horribly wrong.
That New Zealanders facing spin bowling, good spin bowling, is tough to watch.
Torture.
Yeah.
Torture.
Especially like a brand new Ross Taylor when he's in and it's turning into his legs and, oh my gosh.
Speaking of Ross Taylor, the commentators were talking retirement again. They brought up the fact that he's said in an interview that if we had have won the World Cup, he probably would have gone then. How beautiful is it that he was there?
He could be retiring in an interview with Simon Dill right now, and we might be missing it.
He could be.
But it was amazing. And those two batting together, batting so well in the end together, really picking the bad balls to make some runs. Because there was a little bit of run rate anxiety for a minute. And they were smart enough and patient enough to get in a bit. And then as soon as anything was a little bit wide outside off stump, they were hitting some beautiful drives and cut shots and really relieved that pressure. And in the end, the runs didn't look far away at all.
I mean, I think at one point there was 30 dot balls in a row or something like that, and it looked really hard. And I think that was like at 40 for two. At that point, if we'd lost a couple of other wickets, it could have been really hard. And, with Ashwin bowling quite well, it could have, turned into a much closer result at the end.
I mean, I felt like the whole game felt like it was sort of real cricket in that sense, because like batting should be fucking hard. You know, like we've become so conditioned to seeing mishits go for six and run rates of, you know, eight or nine and over in limited overs cricket, but like batting is hard. Batting's really, really hard to do it just again and again and again. It's like you know, when we did that interview with the coach Kit Pereira, who was talking about how you have to, in life and in cricket, you have to refocus every single ball and just play that particular ball. That's mentally so difficult to do, and yet.
Yeah, and they were doing it. You could just see the way Kane just was blocking, and then you just wait for that one little sort of slightly whitish ball, and he'd whip it down leg side. And I was like, where does he get his patience from? I think the rest of us were just, you know, starting to freak out whether we'd even score any runs, and then he just seems to pull out a four or a two. And, yeah.
And there were some beautiful Kane Williamson textbook shots today, you know, front foot drives, rising up on his toes to punch it through the covers off his back foot. It was a really, really nice innings, and I think I'm just so glad they got to bat together to win that. I'm looking at the transcription of Ross Taylor's interview on Crickinfo. He hasn't retired, but he's called it the highlight of his career and talks about how at the beginning of his career never felt like he'd have the side around him to do something like that. And to see the way the Black Caps have gone in just over 7 years from eighth in the world with only Zimbabwe and Bangladesh behind them.
Yeah.
To now outright number one, world test, championship champions. It's very, very cool. And, yeah, you know, and shout out Brendan McCullum. You know, it's the shoulders that they stand on. And to see what Kane's done with this team is wonderful.
And I feel like there's actually a template for a lot of New Zealand sports, which often are, other than the All Blacks, are often, you know, battling a bit. And the Black Caps have kind of shown, well, this is how you can do it. You play your own style. You don't copy another kind of country or another team style. And maybe the Warriors, maybe our All Whites, you know, they can look at some, you know, maybe pick some things out of this and go, maybe this is how we could do things. Because it's pretty incredible to come from that far back. And when you think about how toxic and broken New Zealand cricket was.
Absolutely.
It's incredible.
Well, I don't want to give, I certainly don't mean us as people on a podcast, but, you know, when I say we as the cricketing public, I think the change in New Zealand cricket that has led to the public starting to identify with the team again and see something of us in that team, that's something that, you know, I feel like you don't necessarily have to have stayed up all night watching this one be brought home, but if, you know, I think supporters of New Zealand cricket can genuinely feel like they have a right to share in this as well, and to feel like they were part of it too.
The fan base is so much bigger and more diverse and engaged, and you know, still suffer from the anxiety that comes with being a New Zealand cricket fan, but they're passionate and they really love that team because, you know, that love's been returned in many ways, and it's very cool to see that support grow. And how good were the lads in the Shane Warne stand? To have been there for that. It would have been very fun.
Why didn't they fly 660 over for that? You know, that would have been perfect.
Dave Dobbin will be waiting at the airport for the New Zealand cricket team to come home.
It'll be like when they open the Trans-Tasman bubble and that Waiata group just had to sing Welcome Home for like an hour straight. They did about 20 renditions of it or something. But I'm sure they'll be able to spring for Dobbo for this one.
They'll do it as a freebie for something like this. Yeah, just do it out of the love of your heart for the great Black Caps, which is really important moment to remember that I now get to get a tattoo of the clear logo.
Simon is getting inked.
I was thinking about doing it on my chest where
the fern would be.
No, where the logo would have been on the shirt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like exactly where it would be. But I'm also getting the hair on my back permanently removed. So I thought it would be more visible and easier to see if I got it on my back of my shoulder.
Yeah, well, the hair is definitely an issue, isn't it, when you're doing tattoos? So,
well, it's just when you can see it afterwards, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, the hair aspect was one I hadn't expected.
Yeah.
I often don't hear that, so yeah.
And one other really important thing, shout out to BJ Watling.
Yeah.
What a way to end a really, really amazing New Zealand test career.
Absolutely. And is this, how close is Tim Southee to coming to an end?
Well, I mean, if you look at someone like James Anderson, though, like he keeps on getting better and better, and so does Tim Southee. I mean, he's not a player that relies on raw pace anymore, or probably ever did, really. But he is consistent. He's wily. You know, it's like what they say at club level. You know, you always beware of a bowler with grey hair because they know how to get you out. And Tim Southee, his hair looks fantastic, but he's got that exact same energy about him.
And he just keeps getting better. And
yeah,
I think red ball cricket, you know, focusing on it has been huge for his career.
Mm.
I have to go. I have to walk out to a prior engagement. And, you know, I just... want to say thank you again to the Black Caps for everything you've given me throughout my life. This is, you know, the culmination of 36 years of passion. I'm just, you know, just absolutely speechless. I can't explain how I'm feeling. A few tears earlier, but finally, we've managed to be at the top of the cricketing world.
All right, we will wrap this up here because we all have. Real jobs to get to, as I'm sure many of our listeners will. I have to write a fucking newsletter, which is, it's good. There's news happening at the moment, so it won't be too hard. And also, all of us, I'd imagine, are just a little bit shattered by the last week.
Yeah, it's not just one night, is it?
It's been
six in the end.
Six.
No, I've forgotten what sleep feels like. Yeah. It's amazing. Thank you again to the Bear Spot. Thank you to Spinoff members. Thank you to Alice for producing us this morning. And I mean, you know, thank you to cricket. It's given us so many moments that felt like they define your life. You know, those moments of cricket that teach you about loss and teach you about how to win with humility. And today we finally just get to bask in that feeling a little bit.
Yes. Cricket!
Cricket is life, and life is good.
Oh, Justin! What a way to go out. That is just beautiful.
Are you making the most of your KiwiSaver investment? Generate is an award-winning KiwiSaver provider with a track record of strong long-term performance. Making a smart decision now could add tens of thousands of dollars by the time you reach retirement. Book a no-obligation chat with a Generate KiwiSaver advisor today at generatekiwisaver.co.nz/getadvice. A copy of the product disclosure statement is available at generatekiwisaver.co.nz. The issuer of the scheme is Generate Investment Management Limited, and of course, past performance does not guarantee future returns.
Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spinoff. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spinoff member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spinoff Podcast Network.